Thank you very much indeed. That will teach me to try and switch gospel readings, won't it, when I'm thinking about the service and the notes. Thank you very much. I wonder, have you ever been given a task that you feel is totally impossible for you to do, that you do not have the skills for it, or that you're not interested in it, and you really do not want to do it? Ever had that situation? Yeah? I have to say that I think this is what the disciples were feeling at this time in this story. Jesus just said to them, you go and feed the crowd. And they think, no way, no chance. Just remember where the disciples are in their journey with Jesus at this time. They've just received the news that John the Baptist has been beheaded. John the Baptist, a great friend, the one that came in front of Jesus to prepare the way. He was a cousin to Jesus. The disciples had just received this news, and so had Jesus, because Herod had been tricked. And the disciples and Jesus desperately wanted some quiet time. And they went to go away and have their time. They wanted their time to grieve. They wanted their time for peace and quiet. And their way to do it was to go in a boat. But the crowd are following them and seeing what they do. They couldn't find that time. They wanted that peaceful, quiet time. Sometimes we have a plan in our lives of what we want to do. We might plan the day. Some people might use a thing called a diary. It used to be a written one. Sometimes they're online now, aren't they? In Outlook or Google or something similar to that. And they plan the day. And between 9 and 10, we're going to do this. Between 10 and 10:15, we're going to do this. And so on throughout the day. And if it's not in the diary, you can't do it. But sometimes it's good to break away and have a break. Or actually to go off what your diary says, because people need help, need time. Jesus knew the disciples needed time to rest, but they couldn't get it straight away. Have you ever had a phone call or an email or a text or a message for somebody that needs help, and for you personally, it is the most inconvenient time going? Yeah? You've just sat down either to eat your food or to watch a TV program or something similar, or maybe it's in the middle of the night and you think, what do I do? Do I respond to this message or not? Can I help this person? I had a while ago, I had a friend of mine who was a minister, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, his wife phoned me up and said, Doug, Andy's in need. Can you come round and see him? Now, part of my initial instinct and reaction was, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, I need my beauty sleep, I cannot be disturbed. But the other part of me said, no, Andy's in need. I need to go round and see him. So I did. I went round, saw him, we chatted for however long we needed, managed to calm him back down a bit, and then I went back home, got some more sleep before I went off and did whatever I was doing the next day. I checked up. That had helped him and calmed him down. That put me out of my comfort zone for a little bit, but it meant a lot more to Andy and Lynn because it helped them to cope with the situation they were in. Jesus here is stuck, isn't he, in a way, because he knows that the disciples really need time to be by themselves, but also there's a large crowd that's followed them round the lake, and they want to be with Jesus. They want to hear his teaching. They want him to place their hands on their sick one, their loved ones, or they just want to be in the crowd to soak up the atmosphere. And it says, Jesus had compassion on the crowd when he saw them. In other words, he put away to one side his own needs and the needs of the disciples because there was a bigger crowd that needed help. He knew they wanted to be touched. There were many in that crowd that needed something special from Jesus and from God at that time. And they just get on. For the disciples, this is a normal day. For Jesus, this is a normal day. They get back into their normal work mode, don't they? This is what Jesus did. He walked around the countryside. He stopped at places. People came to him. He taught them. He healed them. He taught them. He spent time with them. He made everyone welcome. And the time just went. The time goes on. We don't get any idea of when this started during the day, possibly early morning. We're not really told. And in a way, it doesn't matter, does it? But what we do know is towards the end of the time of this account, the disciples and the crowd start to feel something happening. It's called tummies rumbling. They're getting hungry. The people are getting hungry. And in verse 15, we're told, as evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy their own food." Now, I have to say that if I was one of the disciples, I would support this. That is a very sensible move, in my opinion, because I wouldn't have to spend time going around the shops trying to find some food, because you couldn't get to Tesco's or Morrison's or anyone else like that at that time. It was a remote place. It would be a long way to go. You don't know. And even if we did get food, then how are we going to distribute it? And then how are we going to clear up all the mess afterwards? And, of course, we've got to go and speak to Judas, who looks after the money. We've got to try and get some money out of them. And we all know how fun it is trying to get money out of treasurers. So I'm sure that the disciples were expecting Jesus to say something along the lines of, "Well, that's a brilliant idea. Well done. Yeah, just send them away. This will give us all time to rest and we can be time and cope with our own emotions." But what does Jesus say? In verse 16, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Can you imagine the surprised look on the disciples' faces, can't you? Thinking, what on earth is Jesus going on about this time? Because they don't understand much of what he says anyway. How on earth are we going to do this? They might even have thought something like Jesus was joking. This account of the feeding of the 5,000 is actually in all four Gospels. So if you look at all the Gospels, there's a slight differences. In Mark's Gospel, because we read Matthew's, in Mark's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples to go among the people and see how much bread they can find. In Luke's Gospel, the disciples have already managed to find some food. And in John's Gospel, we get told that there's a young boy that has 5 loaves and 2 small fish. I wonder what would it have been like for us if we'd been in that crowd? How close would we have been to Jesus? Would we have been able to hear what he was saying, see him? Would we have had Jesus put his hands on us? Would we have been believing? Would have been amazing to be in that crowd. Sat on the hillside, standing on the hillside. And hopefully a nice sunny day like today. But then you suddenly realise, hang on, he's been going on a bit. My tummy's rumbling. It's getting hungry. Are we getting hungry? I mean, the youngsters are having a party. They're having food, aren't they? So I think it's about time we had some food. Example, share food. That's it. Share food. Not that one yet, no. Where did we put it? No, that's not worked, has it? I don't suppose by any chance anybody's got any sweets or anything that we could share around? Anybody happen to bring any sweets with? Sorry, Bob, you
got some here if you want.
Oh, you got? Oh, what have we got?
Smarties.
Oh, lovely.
There's a few more.
Yeah, these
are Shirley's. So.
They're Shirley's. That's all right. Thank you, Shirley. It's a magic bag, that, isn't it? Smart. Anybody like Smarties? Yeah. Oh, good. Helen, you're good at that. Can you open those and start passing them along there? You can start this side. Pass them around. You can take one or two. You'll get some in a minute. Don't panic. Could you do some around there for me, please? You might. Let's see how we get on over there. You'll get some in a minute. We'll make sure they get some. You can start passing this way, can't you? And you can start passing that way. Keith, you'll get some as well if you want. Take one and eat one. Have fun. Share food. You wait. They're at home. You had to buy in bulk. Has everybody managed to get a sweet that wants one? Yep. Have we got any left? Yeah, we've got some. Oh, good. I'll just borrow one. That's it. You can keep them going, Shirley. You can keep them. I haven't given the bill to Treasury yet, it's all right. It's nice being able to share food, isn't it? But I wonder what this young boy thought about. What was different? We don't really think much about the boy, do we? A young boy, that's all we're told. Was he 5, 6, 8, 10? We don't know. We don't know his name. We don't know anything about him. But what made him share that food but nobody else? Because potentially other people did have food. But what would the disciples have thought when they said, oh yeah, here we are, Jesus. You've got 5 loaves, 2 small fish, and about 5,000 men, and then there would have probably been another 5,000 women and children to feed. How on earth is that going to feed all these people? The disciples were probably thinking, this isn't going to work. But again, Jesus just surprises everybody. But not himself, because he knew what was going on. He just says, get everybody to sit down. Be calm. Then he takes the food, blesses it, and says to the disciples, go and distribute it. And let everybody have what they want. Not, you can have one little bit here, you can have one little bit there. No, you just take whatever you want. And there will be plenty. It is a wonderful miracle. And it still happens today. A few years ago, I was watching a video, so it shows how long ago it was. It wasn't a DVD, it was a video. But it was a story. If I remember right, it was from Mexico. And it was about a ministry team, a pastoral team, that used to work amongst the down and outs that were on the rubbish tips in Mexico. And the only way these people could make money was to go and scavenge the rubbish tips, collect whatever they could, and then sell it. And the ministry team from the church had a vision from God that they needed to go and speak with these people and help these people. And they knew that they were short of food. And so they prayed about it and they said, right, we're going to go and give food to these people on a special day. It happened to be Christmas Day. The other technical challenge was that the rubbish dump was controlled by 2 different gangs. And so they had to go to the gang masters, the leaders of the groups, and say, Will you allow your workers to stop so that we can feed them on Christmas Day? And miraculously, the gang leaders did. And so they, on the day, the team turned up at the allotted place. They had a van which they had food in. And then at the allotted time, people started to come forward. And after about 5 minutes, they realised that there was a lot more people coming onto the dump to get food than they had catered for. And so the pastor says in the story that he said, right, some of you carry on serving, and the rest of us will go round behind the van and we'll pray. And we'll just keep bringing food out. They prayed, they served food. They prayed, they served food. They prayed, they served food. Everybody had all the food they wanted. And when they finished praying and stopped serving, they looked in the van and it was as full as when they first started. That was about 20 years ago. So God is still doing miracles today in those many different situations. That was the same as we had here with the feeding of the 5,000 2,000 years ago. Jesus blessed the food and said, go and multiply. And it fed everybody. And we know that, of course, that at the end, as Keith intimated earlier, that there was lots of food left over. And it said that the disciples went round and collected all the food up, and it came into 12 baskets. And the suggestions are that the 12 baskets represent the 12 tribes of Israel. That was very important at that time. Jesus took something that in human eyes was an impossible situation and changed it into something for his glory. That was 2,000 years ago. The story that I told you about from Mexico was 20 odd years ago. But does that mean that the feeding of the 5,000 and this story hasn't got any relevance for us here today at Stanground? I think it has. I think it's got big relevance for us. We are in a wonderful period in this church of growing. We've just had next steps today when we've got together and we thought about where God's wanting this church to go in the next few years. We're being brought in many different people from many different cultures, which is absolutely fantastic. And now our challenge as a church is to think, how can we use all these gifts? How can we use all the talents, all the different cultures? How can we learn from each other? If you think about the 12 baskets of food that were left over, they could represent the different countries that we are representing here today. And they are all put together, mixed together, and then used for God's glory. Each one of us here today has many, many different gifts. Many that come from God. All come from God. Some of them we found out. Some we have yet to find out how to use. Doing something small can make a big difference to somebody else. When I was going between marriages, there was one time where I was really short of money and I didn't have enough money for food that week to get some dinner. And a friend of mine from church was coming into the area and he said, would you like to meet for lunch today? And I said, yes, please. That turned out to be the only dinner I had that week. His small gesture made a big difference to me that particular week. We can do similar, not necessarily buy food for somebody, although we give gifts to the food bank and that helps those in need. It can be simple things like phoning somebody up, sending a text message, a Facebook message, or even something really, really hard, smiling. as we walk down the street, smile at the people that come the other way. I've noticed, because I walk around a bit, that a lot of people will look down like that, just to make sure that the pavement's still there, because it might disappear. But you will get some that will smile. And it could be that your smile and your saying good morning, good afternoon or hello will make the difference to that person. And that's cost you nothing apart from half a second, which is absolutely nothing. Little things make a big difference if God wants to use them. And he does. The feeding of the 5,000, the boy took his packed lunch and said, somebody else hasn't got any, I'll share. And that made the difference. We as individuals know God. We have the love of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit has filled us. God needs us, not wants us, needs us to share that Holy Spirit with those around us, to share his love by making time to be with people, by speaking to them, and most importantly, listening. Making time to listen is the greatest gift. And then we can pray with each other, and God will continue to do great things in our lives and in the life of this church. So may God bless each one of us as we share the gifts of his love, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of peace with each other. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gifts that you have given each person here today. We ask, Lord, that we don't store them up in heaven, we don't let them go rusty, but that we use them. That we use them for your praise and for your glory. And help us to be a light for your life and your love in this community. And we ask this in your name. Amen.